If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, if you would, please. I'm going to read one verse there. We'll read the 33rd verse. 1 Corinthians 14, 33. Very simple, very easy. It says this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Very familiar scripture, am I not right? Let me read that again. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Let us pray, please. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, I come, Lord, with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart for you, Lord. You know what? No matter what, like the song said, no matter what's happened down through the week, no matter what we face each and every day of our life, we know that you are there for us, Lord. We know that you are there to give us that peace, to, Father, to take that confusion away from us, to take all this stuff, Lord, that the world tries to put upon us. We thank you for that. We ask you this evening, Lord, to be with the sermon, Lord, be with the service so far, Lord, and bless those who have taken part in it, Lord. And Lord, bless those that are here this evening, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would open up their hearts and minds, Lord. And Father, that we would do your will, Lord. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. At a recent church business meeting, a country church business meeting, a motion was made by one of the board members to buy a chandelier for the foyer. The board and the trustee agreed on it, and they voted unanimously to bring it before the church to let us purchase that chandelier. The following Sunday, the board president stood up in front of the church, and he said, listen, he stood up to the congregation, he said, I would like to purchase this chandelier, and he'd give him the price, and he said, I want to know if there's any objections to it. At that point, a gentleman stood up, and he said, yes, I object. He said, I really don't think we should be purchasing one of those chandeliers. He said, number one, the cost of it is outrageous. And number two, we have nobody here in the church who can play it anyway. And number three, we really need lighting in this place. And the reason I say that is someone was confused, were they not? Someone was confused. You know what? I want to tell you, as funny as that might sound, as funny as it might sound, folks, we are living in a society that is full of confusion. Am I right? They're full of chaos and confusion. As a fact, you know, as a society, I think that we have lost the fact of who is really in control in this thing. I think as a society, we really have lost that. You know what? We have lost the respect for and the things of God as a society. We have lost that. Somewhere along the line, you know what? We've laid down this thing, and we've really lost that. And whenever you do that, whenever God is out of a situation, chaos and confusion, that's what happens. Our society does really seem to be in chaos. I will not make the false statement to tell you that this the worst society has ever been. I won't do that. I feel that in my heart, but I'm just not going to paint it with a brush like that. But nevertheless, our society seems to be busting at the seams with chaos and confusion. If you really look around, it's running amok. And I'm just saying that's just to say the least. If you look, you know what? The society is becoming increasingly violent, is it not? I mean, it don't take much to see that our society has become increasingly violent. I mean, I could go through and quote to you all the stats down through the years. I could quote them to you, and it wouldn't. And you know what? And you could look them up yourself and find out just how violent society really has come. Those who stand for righteousness, and I say this a lot, are called intolerant. We know that. If we do stand up for righteousness and we stand up for what is right, we are called intolerant. We have churches on every corner in this country. At one time, I don't know if it still stands true, Ravenswood was considered per popula the town with the most churches in the United States. Did you know that? I mean, I read that years ago. And, you know, because of those same churches, though, you know what? There is chaos ensuing. And why would that be, you would ask? Some of them have not bothered to reach out and try to get to the lost in this world, for one thing. They have tried that. They have not really reached out to do that. In some churches, there's infighting, and there's turmoil in some churches. Personal morality, it varies no different in some churches than what it does out here in the world. Am I telling you the truth about that? We don't have to, we can see that. It varies very, very little from that sometimes. But I can say this, wherever God is not present, there is chaos and there is confusion. Whether it's in the world, whether it's in the church, or whether it's in your home, I'm here to tell you, and you know this, and a lot of you have seen this, that if God is not the center of both of your lives in your home, if God is not the center of the church, if God is not the center of society, we see where chaos and confusion will roam. It will reign. It'll just do that. Just imagine what would happen to this universe if God would remove His hand completely from it. Just think about that for a minute. We talk about confusion, so, but just think, in Isaiah 40, the 40th chapter, the 12th verse, it tells us this. Who has measured the waters in the hollow, not of His hands, but of His hand? Who has measured the water in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. Guess who does that? Guess who knows every bit of that? And I'm telling you, there's no chaos in His life. The God that we serve has all of this in control. In Psalms, the 8th chapter, the 3rd and the 4th verse, it says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained. And you know this. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Why should God even be mindful of us sometimes, the way that we act? And He is the one that put all this in place. In Job, the 9th chapter, the 5th through the 8th verse, it says, which removeth the mountains, and they know not which overturneth them in anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. I'm here to tell you, there's only one that can do that. And that is the God that we serve. And He is not a God of confusion. And He is not a God of chaos. God brought order to the universe. Without God, there would be no order in this universe. There would be none. I know we've been talking a little bit about around here about what, you know, how in sync this earth is. And we don't realize sometimes until you really dig into it. And the more I study, and Greg brought it out in teaching here a while back, but the more I study, you know, the earth spins at 1,000 miles an hour. If it spun any less or any more, it would be so different. Do you mean you don't think that God does not have this in control and that He does not? All the planets out there are in their orbit. All the stars are in their orbit. And everything is in harmony. There's no chaos. There is no confusion when it comes to that. Just look how society is today without God being part of it. We just look out there. You know what? God wants to bring order to society. He does. He truly wants to bring order to the society that we live in. In the book of Jeremiah, God had instructed the prophet to preach to the people about what would happen unto them unless they repented and returned unto Him. He wanted Jeremiah to preach to them. The Lord should be the first in their life and should be first in their lives. He wanted that. But they kept on pushing God away. Does it sound familiar? Does it not sound familiar today to you? You know what? If we want peace in our society, it's not going to come by President Trump. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's not going to come by all those we put in office, and it never will. I want you to understand. I don't care who's in there. the peace and the harmony that we want, that we as a society would desire, only comes in trying to get a hold of the one that can bring peace and steal the chaos and steal the confusion. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. And getting to know His Son, that's where we can get rid of the chaos. That's where it would happen. You know what? In chapter 5 of the book of Jeremiah, there are 6 reasons why God was going to judge them. Listen to these. And I want you to listen to these. I'm not going to go and read every one of them. I'm going to read you the verses and tell you what they encapsulate. And he said, listen to with me and see if any of them sound familiar. In Jeremiah 5, 1 through 6, it talks about moral corruption. Does anything sound familiar to you so far? How about in Jeremiah 5, 7, and 9, sexual impurity? And it said, they flocked to the temples and to the temple harlots that participated in the worship of Baal. And we could get in, but you've heard about it. And you know what that, what about in 5, 10 through 18? It says, unbelief. They did not believe God would do what He said He would do. I'm here to tell you this evening, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight, but there are some people out there that do not believe God is going to do what He said He would do. I'm here to tell you, they are living on borrowed time. They are, because God will accomplish everything. He will do what He said He intended to do in His Word. He will never back down from that. And you know why? Because He is a just, He is a righteous God, and He does not want chaos, and He does not want confusion to reign. Listen, he said, and it says over in Jeremiah 5, 19 through 24, there was religious apostasy. That's what it was. He said, God said that they would be destroyed because of their worship of false gods. I'll tell you, our society is worshiping all kinds of false gods today. They are. And it's not the ones that you think. It's not the ones that they've made up out here out of Baal or all these others. That still may be true. But you know what? They are worshiping the other gods. Gods that seem just right to them. The gods of higher education. The gods of money. The gods of all these things. These people like to worship and think those are the things that will be right for them. I'm here to tell you, it's not. It's not, there's only one God, and He is a God that does not like confusion and chaos. And 5:25 through 29 says of social injustice. The rich were cheating the poor. And listen to me, it still happens today, whether or not we think it does or not, it still happens today. And then the last one is the 5th chapter, the 30 through the 34th, corrupt leaders. And listen to me, the leaders of the nations, the kings and the prophets, they were leading the people down the wrong path. Listen to me, the leaders of this country, the leaders of some of the churches and denominations, the leaders of a lot are leading people down the wrong path. You wonder why there's confusion in this country? Right there is why it is. They are being led down the wrong paths, and these people are taking them down these paths. And guess what? Just like sheep, people are following them and believing them and believing that they are the ones that can save them, believing that they are the ones that could take them to a higher plane, believing that they are the ones that can do what, you know what, that only the God that we serve can do. I'm telling you this, in our society today, there's been a concerted effort to remove God from our society. There has been. And we know what? I am narrow-minded sometimes to just say the United States, but it's more than just the United States. It's the culture all over this world to remove God from society. That is starting with our schools back in the 60s. We know what happened back then. That's when they took the Ten Commandments, they took prayer out of school, all that kind of stuff. I firmly believe that one act, I firmly believe, has had the most profound effect on society of anything else is whenever they decided that was the way that they wanted to go. I believe that. And you know, because I believe when God is not the center of anything, especially not our children, if God is not the center of our children, especially, I'm here to tell you, chaos will ensue, and I believe, brothers and sisters, that you know what? All these things that are happening out there, I believe that it will, confusion will come down the pike as well, because guess what? They have taken God out to be the center of it, and society will suffer in the long run. Has it not suffered? Has society not suffered? And you know what? Sometimes as preachers, we hyperbole, I guess is what you want to call it. Sometimes they think we deal in that. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, I believe that's been the single most thing that has affected society the most is our children and not being God-centered. I really do believe that. I believe that. I believe the whole system of law and government are based upon the principles of God's word. I believe that they were. I believe that whenever they set up this nation, when they set up everything, I believe God was at the beginning and in the center of it. He was the one that they based all this stuff on. I believe that. There are people out there that will argue with me about that, and that's fine. That's their opinion. I'm telling you what God has put in my heart and in my spirit to believe, that I believe that it was really, truly intended to be set up to serve God and His laws. Whenever we try to toss God out of our society, our laws do not even make sense. They don't make sense. Why can a doctor kill an unborn baby without consequences? Yet, if that same doctor disturbed an eagle's nest, he could be fined $5,000 or spend a year in jail. I'm not an advocate of killing eagles, don't get me wrong. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, I am no ways an advocate of killing an unborn baby either. That is why our laws sometimes don't make any sense. That's why they don't, because whenever God is not centered, whenever God is not the one to be the center of it, I could go on and say countless and needless, and our country is paying the price for trying to rid itself of God. We are where we are at as a society right now, in chaos and you know, in confusion, because we are trying to get rid of God as much as we can out of it. God doesn't want our society to break into chaos. He does not. God wants there to be order. And also, just look at the churches. Just look at the churches. That God is not the center of them anymore. In a lot of churches, God is not the center. God wants to bring order to the church. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as of all the churches of the saints. When God is the center of the church, there will be peace and order in that church. Amen? If God is the center of that church, there will be peace and there will not be no chaos and there will not be confusion in that church. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. People say, well, what about this? And what about, listen to me, I'm still here to tell you. It was said this morning. There's basic things that Christians have to agree on. We've got to agree on those basic things. The rest of it, you know what? We could, all of us could argue till we're blue in the face. It won't get nobody saved. I'll tell you what is the church's purpose? A church's purpose is to see the lost brought in and to see them saved. Period. Help those people out there that we can help. Help all that we can help. Do what we can do. But we, where the church gets in trouble is when our personal agendas take over. That's what happens. Our personal agendas. You know what? If our focus is not on God, if our focus is not on God, His mission will be filled full of silly things like fighting over what the carpet is or fighting over what color the wall should be or whatever else people want to fight about in churches anymore. When we put God at the center of the church, I'm here to tell you right now, God will bring order and He will bring peace in the church, and that's the way that the church should be done. I'm not just talking about Drift Run Church. I'm talking about the church of God, His church. All of you are His church, right? You know what? It's not just Drift Run Church. We are His church. He will reap blessings upon us when we do this. Do you understand that? 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. All things. He didn't say a few things. He said all things are to be done decently and all things are to be done in order. How would your life be without God being a part of it? Let me ask you that this evening. I want you just to take an inventory tonight of your own self. I know most of you here, I know all of you here this evening. Listen, and I know that, just tell me, how would your life be if God was not the center of your life? What if something else was the center of your life this evening? I think if you look around, you don't have to look far to find those that don't have God as the center of their life. Shouldn't that give you an answer? Am I right? About what's life like whenever God is not the center of your life? I have them in my family. I have them around. I work with them. And you know what? I'm not here to put nobody down, but I'm just telling you, if you cannot see that, man, I'll tell you what, it's terrible. It's terrible, isn't it, Greg? It's terrible. I mean, if God is not the center of it, and they go on, and their life just goes on and on, and they think everything's okay, and chaos and confusion abound in their life sometimes. God wants to bring order to our lives. He tells, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where you and I should get our peace. Amen? You know what? I say this a lot. I love my wife, but my peace don't come from my wife. Am I right? And your peace shouldn't come from your spouse. You love them. You love them to pieces. But you know what? When it comes down to that peace inside of us should come by the one that's there no matter what happens, no matter the storm, no matter what goes on in your life, that peace should come by Him. Peace is ours when chaos and disorder are absent. They are. Peace is ours when that chaos and that disorder is out of our lives. When we give our lives over to Jesus, that's when we find peace with God. That's when I found peace. That's when I truly found peace in this old boy's life. I did. I found it. And I tell you, I'm here to tell you this evening, I've needed it this week. Amen? I've needed Him this week more than I've needed Him in a long time. And we should need Him every day. I'm just here to tell you. And it's, you know what? When we give our lives over to Jesus, we then can have peace with God. As we turn our areas of our lives to God, we will experience order, we will experience peace, and we will experience blessings from Him as we fully give Him control in our lives. I believe that. Do you know what? If you do not totally give Him control of your life, it's going to be hard to have that peace all the time. It's going to be hard to let Him have control. It's going to be hard to let Him have all these things. But if we do it, and by faith we step out and we walk and we say, God, I'm giving you everything right now. I want peace. I want you to have control of my life. I love the testimony you give a little bit ago. You know what? You weren't going to let the devil defeat you. Amen? That should be our attitude every morning. You know what? We should have a funeral for ourselves every morning. Amen? We should put ourselves and bury ourselves when we get up in the morning, and we should say, God, I'm resurrecting myself with You today. I'm going with You today. I'm going to have You go with me today. I want You to be the one in my life. Think of how many people are living in chaos out in this world today. You just have to turn on the news and you see it every day. You see it every day. There's just so much chaos. No one's happy. Am I right? It doesn't seem like no one's happy. No one's satisfied. No one wants to live their lives in peace and harmony anymore. Why? Because they have ignored God for so long. They've let Him out of their lives for so long. And His calling to us that, you know what? They need to get back to Him. They need to get back to Him. Think about how many people are living in chaos. Just think about it. God sent His Son to die for us, did He not? He did. I believe God sent His Son to this earth, and He willingly came down here, and He willingly went to that cross, and He willingly died, and He willingly, you know what? He willingly did that so you and I can get rid of the confusion, that we can get rid of the chaos, that we can, Paul writes this, and he said, listen, Paul writes this, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, it says here, I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have be wise unto you that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He is telling them, he said, listen, what you have done has got back to a lot of different people. And listen, they're talking about how good it was. Amen. Am I right? Listen, your testimonies, the life that you live, don't think for a minute that it does not get to people. People are watching you every day. They're watching your walk, whether you think they are or they're not. They are watching you, and they're watching you to see if this God that you are serving is really God of your life, or is it just something that you're telling them? Paul's telling these people here, he said, listen, this got back. Yeah, you're right. You are living a good life. You are doing what God's told you to do. And listen, I'm here to tell you, it will be that way for you. Paul is telling the people that because of their love and their obedience to the Lord, that God was not going to let Satan wreak havoc in their life. Praise God to see you. I tell you what, I believe that is good. I believe it is great and mercy. Listen to what God said. God wants to bring order and peace into our lives. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter into, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to have life and I want to have it more abundantly. I'm not talking about I don't care if I get a bunch of money. I want him to bless me spiritually. Amen. If he blesses me financially, that's fine, that's good, that's great. But you know what? That's not what that's about. The devil, he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy lives. He wants chaos. He wants you to be confused. But I'm here to tell you this evening, God wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. I'm telling you, there's been time in our lives, you can ask her, that we have not had much at all. But praise God, we had life abundant. Amen? Amen? We had life abundant because we had Jesus. You know what? And that doesn't make a difference whether you have two nickels to rub together. What it makes the difference is if the Spirit of God is dealing with you and you can stand up and say, God, I'm going through no matter what. No matter what the confusion, no matter what the chaos, I'm going through with you. And I believe God, just think what would happen if God were to remove his hand from you, from this universe, from this church. Just think about it for a minute. Look at what's happening in society. Just look at it. God loves you, and guess what? You need to know that, and I hope you all know that in here this evening. The God that we serve loves everybody in here. He loves everybody out there, and one thing he doesn't want is for confusion and chaos to ruin anybody's life. As they come and get a song, if you're here this evening and you feel that that is happening in your life, I'm going to ask you to come up here this evening. Come this way and let's pray tonight. Let's pray that God will get all that out of there tonight.